is 34.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday afternoon, and this is.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Pause IM Radio. My name is Robert, and I am your host. Joining me is my co-host, Jeremy. Jeremy, can you hear me?
I can. Can everybody hear me? Hello, I'm Jeremy Don.
How are you making out today, man?
You know what? Today's not bad. It's a nice, warm, humid, wet day down here in Charlotte, North Carolina. How about you?
Pretty good. It's a nice sunny day up here in Levittown, Pennsylvania. So we're both
Excellent.
On the East Coast. Interesting. I just want to welcome everybody to the first show. Kind of lay down a little bit of a format for everybody. We're going to just kind of explain a little bit about ourselves, where me and Jeremy come from, and then we're going to move on to possibly taking some calls if we get some callers. If not, we'll just touch some, you know, interesting topics. So, Jeremy, you want to start off talking a little bit about yourself?
Oh, you know, that's my favorite subject. It's all about me. Well, yeah, my name is Jeremy Dunn, and as you all are aware, well, this is Pause IM Radio. Pause IM is, it's a great community for HIV-positive, infected, and affected folks. I am one of those HIV-positive, infected folks. I was diagnosed in 2005. I'm coming up on a four-year anniversary in January. And when I was diagnosed, I found out that I had been positive for at least 7 years or 8 years prior to my diagnosis, and I had been carrying that with me for a while. So when I was diagnosed, I didn't get to pass go and collect my 200 T cells, as they say. I went directly to the big AIDS diagnosis as well, and I've been on meds ever since I was diagnosed, so that was always a fun part of the experience, you know, living day to day and taking a look at that big mound of pills in your hand and you swallow it with water every day. But hey, you know, that's the way it is, and I prefer living on meds than the alternative, I suppose. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. I won't get more to me a little bit later, and I'm going to turn it back over to Rob. Rob, what about you?
Okay, I myself have been positive for 7 years. I don't know if it's a lucky immune system or what it is, but I have been lucky enough to remain off of meds, which I find a lot of people find interesting, and they ask me what my secret is when I really don't have a secret. It's just kind of, I guess, maybe being active. I'm a little, you know, I used to play soccer a lot. I've been playing for 20 years, so it's kind of something that I've always been able to burn things off. So it's interesting. You know, I've gone through addiction to losing my father, and then, you know, I actually first started off with, I came out of the closet as a gay man in 97 when I graduated high school. I fell deeply into addiction and drugs. I then found out my father was diagnosed with lung cancer, and within a year of within 3 months of losing him, I found out that I was HIV positive. So it was kind of like boom, 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 like one thing after another. And it kind of empowered me. It allowed me to do, you know, something different with my life. And that's why I created this website, because I wanted friends personally, because I didn't have friends that I knew that I could talk to about this thing. How about you, Jeremy?
When I was diagnosed, I didn't really have a large support group. I had to go seeking it out. I didn't think about HIV prior to my diagnosis. So I went looking for a support group, and I found a couple. I found a couple online forums. I found, just going in on a weekly group session as well, you know, with other HIV infected folks. And then I laid on the couch for probably about 2 years solid on a weekly sessions with a therapist, trying to figure things out and just trying to wrap my head around everything. But
yeah, it's very interesting I came across you, because we met each other, you know, through Bob Bowers, and he was
right,
such an inspiration to both of us, I'm sure. And I want his body for my own. I'm so jealous of that man. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, because I look in the mirror and I go, God, look at me. I would love to have, well, I'm going to work on it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it too.
I just, you know, the beer and the chocolate cake doesn't help matters.
Not at all. I hear you. I hear you. My partner has a chocolate fix, and it's every night we have ice cream. It has to be Dove triple chocolate.
Well, of course. Of course it has to. You know, your partner's on the right wavelength there.
Yeah.
So, you know, if mine isn't, you know, Baskin-Robbins, you know, chocolate and peanut butter ice cream, it isn't anything.
And just to remind our listeners that you guys can call in if you want to make any comments. The number to call in is area code 347-215-9442. And you can call in and we can put you on air. You can be on live with me and Jeremy. Just to touch base on some other things. Like I said, Jeremy, I reread your story today because I read it when I first went to your site, but I reread it today and it just kind of brought so much, you know, that I could relate to in your story. From going to the, you know, to the bad clubs during the night, being, you know, drinking excessively at the clubs and then just denying it like it was never going to happen to you.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, and you know, when I denied it because it wasn't something that I thought could happen to me. You know, I denied the plausibility of it happening. So I thought, honestly, I didn't think I was in the demographic. I had a really good job. I only thought that, well, I saw the statistics and I said, well, it's only African Americans who are and Latinos. Well, I'm not of those. I'm not a heavy drug user, so I'm not going to get it. Foolishly, I convinced myself of that. And behold, I turned out to be HIV positive. And I think if we all thought and looked at our potential either drug use partners, you know, sex partners or whatever, you know, that we're going to come into close bodily contact and exchange bodily fluids of some sort, we need to assume that if you don't know that person very well, always assume that they're positive, and I didn't.
Right.
Just didn't. What about you? I mean, because we do have similar stories.
Mm-hmm. It was always something that I just thought would never happen to me. It's very interesting because I always thought it would never happen to me, but in some weird reality, I knew it was going to happen to me.
I had the same thought, you know. For I don't know if I can remember standing in my mirror one day and pretending that I was speaking to my parents and saying, "Oh my God, Mom, Dad, I'm HIV positive," and I knew I wasn't, but I was rehearsing that speech. And I'm not sure why I was rehearsing that speech or if I somewhere deep down inside knew.
Right.
All along.
It's just very weird. Like, I don't know. Like, I've read this book on pre-birth, you know, planning of things that our life experiences are things that we've planned before birth, which, you know, is some spirituality book that I'm reading. And it's very interesting. And that'll be another show. But it's just very interesting that I fell into that because I really believe that I honestly chose this life and I wouldn't change what has happened to me for anything, because I've become who I am today because of it.
You know, and not to be cliche, but that which does not kill us makes us stronger.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and I think, I really think that this whole experience of being HIV positive has enlightened me, has brought me to a place that I've always been needing to get to. It's gotten me to a center. It's gotten me to where I'm able to recognize behaviors in myself and in others around me that it's like, oh my gosh, how did I not see that before? It's just given me a complete and better understanding of who I am. And
like a whole new perspective.
It really has. And I think really that anybody who's diagnosed as being HIV positive, especially in that first year, you know, when I was diagnosed, I can tell you that in my first year, I didn't know which way was up. I didn't know where – I just didn't know. I was numb because I everything was so new to me. Yeah, I felt, oh, my God, I'm given another chance. I'm going on meds. I'm – got to do something with my life. I have to turn it around. And that's where I think that's the first year of me coping and managing to deal with this diagnosis, because it was just so raw for me.
Yeah, it's so different, you know what I mean? It was just very interesting how my life planned out. Like, I remember sitting down with my mom and telling her what I had an addiction problem to cocaine and meth, and I sat down with her and I would be like, you know, I had to tell her I had this problem, and it was very difficult for me to tell her because at the same time my dad was upstairs laying in bed dying of cancer. So it was like one thing on top of another for her, and I didn't want her to go ballistic. But when I sat down and told her, I remember, like, she turned to me and she was like, I thought you were going to tell me that you were positive. And then little did she know that 6 months down the road, that would be a conversation I was going to have with her.
Wow.
So it's very, yeah, it was very interesting. It's like, kind of like, did mom know something intuition-wise, or like,
mom,
what's going on?
Always know. Mom
yeah, right?
Always know, you know?
Yeah, but she was like so petrified. But it's funny because it was hard for me to come out of the shell when I told her I was gay. It was like, you know, that whole denial thing. And like, becoming positive is like going back in the closet and having to take those hinges back off that door again.
It really is, because I think coming out gay is a lot easier than telling someone you're HIV positive.
Oh, nowadays, yes.
You know, it's even in the—and I don't want to make general sweeping statements, but I can tell you from personal experience that when I was out in the dating scene, it was very difficult because you get mixed messages in the gay community, because in some instances, they're all raising for HIV and AIDS, yet you turn around, you talk to the same people in a bar or a nightclub, and you tell them that you're HIV positive, they say thank you, but no thanks. They almost don't even want to shake your hand.
Yeah, they want nothing to do with you.
Exactly, and you get that on, when you look at the online, you go and you know, these hookup sites, I won't mention them by name, but you know, and you get a lot of these that say, you know, I'm D&D free, UB2, no HIV at all. You know, it's a little sad
that
they think that it won't happen to them, especially if they think that if they put that out there, that, you know, honest people are going to reply. So that's another conundrum that, you know, I'm still trying to wrap my head around, is that if you people that's not what you want, people are just going to lie to you to get what they want.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so
because they did it to us.
what? I'm sorry.
I said they did it to us. They lied to us to get what they wanted.
Exactly. Or with me, I just didn't ask.
Right. A lot of time it was just like a don't ask, don't tell.
Exactly. You know, and a lot of it is, I'm not going to ask if you don't tell me. I don't even think that it's even necessary to talk about it, or not to talk about it, but I think it's everybody's responsibility to talk about it. I think it's not just the positive person's responsibility, but it's also the partner who you're going to do something with. I think it's their responsibility as well.
It's a two-way street.
Absolutely. You know, ask. If you know that if you know your status, then inform your partner that whether you're negative or positive. Don't just assume that you're positive, that if somebody's positive are going to tell you, because they might not, because of the fear of the rejection.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's what we all have to deal with. We're all dealing with some sort of rejection.
Right. The big thing is people need to start communicating about it and not hiding it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? With all the stigma, people are afraid to say anything. So, like, that's, like, basically the reason why I created the website, you know, the PosIAM community, was so people could find similarities that you think are differences. Like, a lot of people think that they don't experience the same things. No one else out there will have it. And then they come here and read blogs of people sharing their experiences, like when Mark was the featured blogger. You know what I mean? Like, people read that and they were like, oh my God, I'm going through the same thing, or, you know what I mean? It touches people. And that's, like, the purpose of this.
Exactly. And I think all HIV positive people, we go through the same things. We just maybe not at different times.
Absolutely.
we come to accept our diagnosis. We come to, we're angry about it. We're sad about it. I don't think I've ever been happy about it, but I've come to accept it and to learn and to be at peace with myself about it. There are some days where I don't think about it at all, and there are some days where it just occupies my entire being for that day. So it comes in waves. I when I do have a bad day, I call it my HIV day. I have an AIDS day.
Kind of like PMS. It's my time of the month.
That's right. Ah, it's my day today. I'm just going to do that.
Oh, it looks like we have a caller.
Terrific.
So we're going to take a caller. I don't know exactly who it is, but it's a 951 area code, so let's see who it is.
All right.
Hello, caller. You're on air.
Hey, Robert and Jeremy. This is Dino.
Hey, Dino. Oh,
hey,
how
you
doing?
You? Good. Good.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just thought I'd take a chance to listen in on the first radio show.
Wonderful. You're for our first caller.
Right.
Oh,
we should have a little. I should have a little sound maker over here.
I know. I wish I had some buttons or something to press. Okay, here, I'll do this. How's that?
So what's on your mind, Dino?
Oh, not much. I guess a lot of my a lot of my life actually kind of went with what Jeremy did. Jeremy's is to where I actually, when I was tested, I actually tested AIDS.
Right.
And it was probably about 10 years that I've had it.
Before you tested it?
Well, actually, before I was tested with
okay.
it. Before that, I used to get tested a lot. I always came up negative, and I thought, well, you know, it's not going to happen to me.
Yeah, I hear you.
And, and it just takes that one time. And
that's all it takes. You're absolutely right.
And
the problem is you get caught up in the moment and you don't think with the right head. That's the problem.
That's true. That's true. That's
let me ask you this question. What was your first year like when you were first
actually,
diagnosed?
Actually, I had just July 31st was the anniversary of my first year.
My God.
And it was life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
It really didn't strike me as it was really horrible, and I guess it's just because I always, thought it would happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've always followed it since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, I've done reports on it, and I did. And I've had friends, I've had partners who have died from it.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's, well, I'm sure you guys have too. Friends-wise. But I don't know. There's days I think about it, and there's days I don't.
So how do you cope with it now, Dino? Are you, like, after a year, do you have, like, a better, like, what's the word I want to look for, a better feel for it? Like, you're accepting it a little bit better?
Yeah, I actually am. I think about it and I. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Okay.
Yes. that's the fear of radio when you go to dead silence, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry. What
I'm on a cell phone. I'm on a cell phone, so that's the fear of a cell phone too.
right. So, what kind of support network did you have?
Actually, when I first found out a couple months later, I found PosIAM, and, you know, it helped out a lot. And, you know, I'd just like to thank Robert for that.
I remember that, Dino, because you were one of the first members to join the old site.
Oh, yes.
I mean, do you remember when it was only four of us? I mean, it was crazy.
Yes, it was. I mean, you know, it's nice to see more people on there. Then again, it's nice not, you know, it's not nice to see more people on there because you realize, you know, how much
more people, yeah.
There.
That's what I try to tell people. It's not the size of the community, it's the message.
Tell people that too, Rob. Let me tell you.
I like that one. Talking about the segment, not a lot of people know about me. I've heard friends, and, you know, when I've heard them talk about it before, it really didn't hit me as much, but now it's just comments that I hear that close friends make about it.
Right.
Who don't know about your status.
Correct.
Yeah, that's kind of difficult because you kind of don't want to say something, but you do.
Yes.
Exactly. And you're
I do tend
yourself.
To say
yeah.
things. Yes.
And then it makes you wonder that if they did know your status, would they still be making those comments?
They probably would, just not to my face.
Yeah.
But it is. But I was sick when I found out, and I'm actually a lot better now. I was one of the lucky ones where I only had to take one pill a day, which I still do.
And what is that you take, the Atripla?
The Atripla.
Okay. And Jeremy, you take that too, don't you?
I do. It's my third regimen.
See that? Now I took it as well. That's interesting. But when I took it, I broke out in an allergic reaction to it.
So did I.
Yeah.
I had a really strong allergic reaction. The doctor said, well, you know, this is something you've got to take. So he gave me something for that. And, I have no reactions to it whatsoever anymore.
Yeah,
I took it
for about a week, and I broke out in these hives. And I'm like, you know, I'm telling my partner, I'm like, look, I'm itching. And he's like, no, it's in your head. You know, it's just the side effects. And I'm like, he woke up in the middle of the night, and he found me literally laying in the shower with the water running on me to stop it from itching so bad. It was so funny. He thought I was going to drown. It was hilarious. But I'm like, I'm just sitting here relaxing, trying to get this itch away. But the doctor's like, go to the hospital, go to the ER. So I went there, and he thought I had Stephen Johnson's disease, which is something I never heard of before. But
I never heard of that either.
It's kind of like it's like an allergic reaction, but with hives all over, and it's like deadly. It can kill you. And like he's like, yeah, he was like so scared. He's like, here's my cell phone number. Call me if anything goes wrong. Go to the emergency room. And then here I found out after it was all done, and I went and seen him. He's like, my last patient that happened to, he passed away. So, like, I was like, well, thank God you didn't tell me that when I was in the hospital.
Take me off.
You know what I mean? Like, geez Louise.
Exactly. Well, I tell you, what I love about Atripla are the dreams that Sestiva gives you.
See, that's what I was allergic to, the Sestiva in it.
Yeah, I dig the dreams. I love going to bed so I can dream weird, weird things. Let me share a funny story. I'm going to do it anyway. You know I am. So I dreamt that I was Danny Kaye.
Who's that?
And there's silence. Who's Danny Kaye?
That's what I was like, who's that?
Who is that?
I know Danny Kaye.
Danny Kaye is a singer, actor, performer from the 30s and 40s. And he did this show on Broadway where he played Noah, of Noah's Ark fame, you know? And so I dreamt that I was him singing the song Two by Two. You know, they're creepy, the crawly, Two by Two. You know, it's just... Anyway, I digress. Dino, I am so sorry to steal your thunder.
That's all right.
I can sit here and break into song any old time, you know. So...
Go ahead. Make it a musical.
Exactly. I think they did that. It's called Rent.
That is my favorite show.
That's one thing. Okay. I've never seen it.
You've never seen it. Are you like the only living person on this planet that hasn't seen Rent?
I probably am.
Oh my gosh.
It's my second time live, and I do want to go a third, because
I don't know who they are because I never seen it. I can't help you.
They're supposed to be touring because, you know, it's the last of September 1st, I believe, very last Broadway show.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
But
yep.
It's a great show.
It's a great, great show.
Okay, so...
Anyway, as far as the itching goes, I was actually banned into the living room.
I don't get banned. My partner just gets out of bed and goes into the living room because I'll snore or I end up with the hiccups. Yeah, no itching to drive him out of bed.
I've been known to snore.
Well, Tino, thank you so much for calling in.
Okay. No problem.
All right, thanks so much.
Great
thanks,
talking
Dino.
To both of you. Bye now.
Bye.
Well, that was Dino, everybody. Thank you so much. What a great first call. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, it's very interesting because Dino, like I said, was one of those first members that joined the site, and it was like nothing. It was such a horrible site back then, and now I look at it and I go, wow, it's so different now. And it's people like Dino and Jack and Jim who were like the first members ever who actually make it. Like the members are what make Paz I Am what it is.
Well,
you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's a safe environment to come in and get support, garner support, have fun, joke with each other, and sometimes cry on each other's shoulders. I love it. And I got to tell you, Rob, my personal favorite part of the entire site is the arcade.
You like that?
I love the arcade. I was playing Zelda earlier today. I will confess, I was playing Zelda. And, I kept dying a lot. And I kept killing these little ogres and collecting the hearts and going through the maze, and then I found the bomb bag, and I got the blow thing. I love the arcade.
Yeah. I just actually added the Super Arcade last night that has the Zelda that you're talking about, but Dale was on there this morning, and he turned around to me, and he's like, I like the old arcade. There's some games that were on there that aren't on the new one, so I, as requested by him, I brought back the old arcade as well, so they're both located under the Fun Stuff tab, but I just wanted to, you know, make that notable to people that they can play both arcades.
I love the arcade.
I was hooked on this morning. I was playing Blocky.
Uh-huh.
I think it's in like the classic games, and it's so fun. It's just it's kind of sort of like Tetris, where you got to match things, but you have to match the four corners with the same colors, and it's just really cool. I was addicted for like an hour at 8:30 this morning playing. I can't help it.
Oh goodness. Oh golly, what does HIV mean to people? That's what I want to know. You know, if anybody's out there listening, call in and tell us what HIV means to you. What are the ideas that come to your head when someone says they're HIV positive or you start talking about HIV? Those are the things that we need to start talking about.
Absolutely. Somebody actually just called and then hung up, so hopefully they'll call back in.
Please.
And do you know that number, Jeremy? You want to give them that number to call in?
I don't have it written down in front
of me. Okay,
the
phone number to call in is 347-215-9442. And if you're using Skype, you can always log on to Skype and click the talk button, and you can come on free through Skype. And again, that number is 347-215-9442. So, other than that, let's talk about things. Let's see. like the purpose of the show, the whole purpose of the radio show, the website, and like we haven't even given a shout out to your website, which is positivelyspeaking.com.
Yes.
Which, tell people a little bit about your website.
Positivelyspeaking.com. I founded positivelyspeaking.com this year because I got so riled up, mainly with stigma and how stigma is perpetuated and how we, being HIV positive, tend to perpetuate stigma. So I decided to create this site, positivelyspeaking.com. That's P-O-Z, positively with a Z, kind of like Liza with a Z. it's positivelyspeaking, positively with a Z.com. And it's really dedicated to bringing people of all status types, negative and positive. I guess there's only two, not all. but bringing people together and having an open and honest dialogue about HIV, what it means to them, what images are conjured up when people talk about HIV. And I wanted to be frank and honest about it because we can't keep sheltering and censoring our language around HIV. We can't keep hiding what HIV really is. HIV is a killer disease.
But it's manageable.
Yeah, we'll
but you know what?
That.
Hold on 1 second, Jeremy. We actually have
right.
a caller online. So
oh, terrific.
Let me click over to her. I believe this is Linda. Let's see. Linda, are you there?
I am.
Hi, how are
Hi,
you,
Linda?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I've been listening, and the stigma part is kind of what I'm really interested in because I'm not positive. My best friend in the world is and has been for 20 years and unfortunately lives in New York. So we talk over cyberspace, but, you know, we converse on the phone. We see each other maybe a couple times a month. And, you know, when we do that, we're, you know, it's about us. We want to have fun. We want to get together. We're not really talking about HIV or AIDS, but just wondering, because I don't see him all the time, like what he does go through as far as the stigma and if there, you know, is anything that, any way that I could help him or, you know, should I ask him questions like that? Does it help him to talk about it? That kind of thing.
Well, I Linda would probably find out what his comfort level is first. As anybody being positive, it's always important to figure out one's comfort level before just, you know, ask him. If you guys have been, you know, how long have you guys been friends?
Forever. No,
forever.
Well, about 35 years. Yeah,
then
so I can ask him anything.
Yeah, you probably know what his comfort level is. You know, and he may appreciate you asking. Or he may just come out and say, you know what, it's personal, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people are like that. Some people don't like to talk about it
exactly.
at all. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And
I think his partner would be one that wouldn't want to talk about it, but I think he would. I mean, we're pretty close. I think he would talk about anything. I just don't know if there's a need there. You know what I mean? I don't know if he would ever, you know, ask that of me, maybe because maybe I wouldn't understand. I don't know.
Now, you invited him to Pause IM, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I noticed that his partner friended you on Facebook, so I don't
know
if he's going to join or not. But
very interesting.
Yeah. As far as, like for me, just the other day I was talking to a friend because I was thinking I wanted to get, like, a little red ribbon tattoo, like, on the underside of my wrist. And she's a nurse, so, I mean, she knows about things. And she was like, why would you wear that? What people might think you have it, and that's a dirty disease and things like that. And I guess I'm just naive, like, because I've, you know, been best friends with someone who's infected, and I mean, I go stay. I just never, from the day he told me, I never had any kind of reserve about, you know, touching him or being in his, I don't know, people, I just guess I'm naive about it, or I because I don't think that way, I don't realize how other people do, I guess.
That's funny, because when I was when I first came out and I started going to the bars, I used to hang out with my my two best friends, and his name was Bob, and the other one, his name was Mike, and Mike's actually a part of the Pazayam community. And we used to go out to the bars all the time, and I remember one time we were sitting at this bar up in New Hope, Pennsylvania, and we're sitting there, and my one friend, Mike, became, you know, infected with HIV first, and it was no big deal, you know what I mean, to me, but I remember drinking his beer at the bar, and my friend Bob turning over to me and going, hey, you shouldn't drink that, you know what I mean? And I sit there, and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not, that's not how it is. And then later on down the road, as you know what I mean, down the road, I become infected, and then my other friend Bob became infected. So all three of us were educated about it when the first person got infected, yet we didn't follow precautions, and we all became infected.
Right. Yeah.
And of course, none of it was together. You know what I mean? Like, we were always friends and remained friends. So.
See, you shouldn't have drank his beer.
Right.
and listen.
Well, maybe I should go get tested then, because I drink out of Timmy's glass all the time.
but I just want to remind the listeners that you cannot, I repeat, you cannot contract HIV through sharing someone's glassware, drinking their beer, sharing their utensils or off their plate or off the toilet seat or kissing or tears or snot. You cannot get it that way. It's absolutely impossible. So I just really want those listeners to understand that this is not a casual encounter and casual contact disease. So just want to stress that and keep that at the forefront of everyone's minds. So.
Yeah, because believe it or not, people still think that.
You're absolutely, you're right, and depending on you know what your knowledge is of HIV, you might not know.
Right.
So, Linda, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us about your important, cool job you got.
My important, cool job is making chemotherapies for cancer patients.
How interesting is that?
Wow.
It's interesting, but it's I did it a little bit at Temple Children's Hospital, but it was on a smaller scale, and now I work at a cancer center in Philadelphia, and I don't know if I want to say depressing, but it's like when I come into work and I, you know, because I don't go in till 10, so these people are there, you know, and many of them get several different types, so they're there all day, and just seeing like the standing room only waiting room, it's really just, I mean, I've been doing it, I've been working there since February, and it's still, every time when I go walk through there to go into work, it's pretty powerful when you see that, like, to realize that, you know, there's all these people are waiting for meds for cancer and the impact that it has, and, you know, I guess depressing. I hate to say it like that, but it just is. It brings it into perspective, I guess. You know that it's pretty. You know, there's many, many, many people out there. As a matter of fact, I ran into somebody I worked with years ago, and her husband. And I said, "Oh, how are you doing?" I mean, you know, you don't ever want to run in when you do this for a living. You don't want to run into anybody, you know. But she said, "Oh, my husband has one kind of cancer, and I have this other kind of cancer. I mean, both of them had it." And it was just like, wow, you know. So, but I feel good about what I do because I feel like I'm helping people. So,
absolutely. Yeah, that's the kind of the feeling I guess you can say, you know, me and Jeremy get out of doing our websites. You know what I mean? It's like that gratification of people appreciating it.
Right.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for calling in today with us today.
Well, you're doing a great job, and I'm glad that there's people out there like you that are willing to, you know, be up front and share, you know, everything and put it out there, because I think a lot of people I think there needs to be more awareness, and prevention is the key, and I think that since meds, the cocktail, people, I think the perspective in a lot of people that want to be naive is like, well, if it ever happened, I can just take medicine. And I think that people need to realize that it's still as bad and as big of a problem as, and maybe bigger, you know, and I think that society as a whole has become lax about it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing the affected view. It's always a good thing to hear, and I will talk to you later, Linda.
All right.
Thank you, Linda.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, to call into Pause I Am, just dial 347-215-9442. And you can talk with myself, Jeremy Dunn, and Robert Brining.
Right?
Hey, we're getting, what's that?
I didn't say anything.
Oh. I think we're getting the video thing down.
Yeah, we're getting there. It'll be interesting for next week.
Oh, this is a weekly show.
Yes. So tell me, Jeremy, did you hide a lot of your feelings when you were diagnosed? Was that kind of how you dealt with it?
No. I was pretty upfront. I was angry. I was very angry. I also was dealing with a double dose of guilt and anger because when I was diagnosed, my partner, my ex at the time, had been diagnosed, and it turned out that I was the one who had infected him, and I didn't know it. So I didn't know that I was positive because I didn't get tested, and if I didn't get tested, then I was negative, you know? So
absolutely.
I didn't know my status. And
it's weird how you put that in your head, right?
Yeah, exactly. You can justify anything, right?
Anything for ourselves.
Exactly. If I don't know it, don't have it. And I think just knowing that I had infected someone and changed their lives permanently was devastating. Absolutely devastating. It's been almost 4 years, and I'm still coping with some of that guilt. So I have those feelings that I still work through. So, I mean, I was angry, just angry. I lashed out at people. I was angry.
That's interesting. See, I did a lot of I found a lot of comfort in eating. I, you know what I mean? Like the comforting in foods when certain things were to go wrong with me. It's weird. I'm not really an emotional kind of guy. I don't really like to cry, but if I do, it's bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I always like, I'm one of the type of people who bottle it. And then when it's ready, it's like the waterworks.
Right. And if anybody knows my partner, Mark, he can tell you that, yeah, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I will cry, I will laugh, I will joke. I get angry, and I'm like, oh my god, you know. No, I mean, I can be emotional when I want to be, and or as Mark puts it so properly and so correctly, I tend to wear a tiara on my head and become this huge drama queen. Not
I'm sure my partner can vouch for that for me too sometimes. But it's interesting because people deal with it in different ways. Like some people like to cry a lot. Some people like me find the comfort in food, where other people like throw themselves into activities where, whether it was like soccer was one of the things that I focused in for my support system. But a lot of people will like go and exercise and lift weights to take their mind off it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, and some people are even creative about the whole thing, where like I know me and Terry, for instance, one of the other members, we write poetry, and it seems like when I write that down on a piece of paper, it makes everything feel better.
Mm-hmm. And then you have folks that are just the opposite, who decide, well, I've already got it, so nothing else can happen to me, and they just go into a deep dive into very risky and very disturbing behaviors. They'll go deeper into drugs. They'll just go deeper into unprotected sex, and do those types of things too. So there's coping with it is just this wide spectrum of emotions and stages in your life. I think it's just evolution of how to deal with it.
And that's very important to understand that as well, because it's not always, you know, you don't always find that support. Some, like I said, some people, some have been ostracized by their families because of it. Look at some other countries in India, in South and Eastern Africa, Papua New Guinea. There's some cultures out there and some, you know, just other tribes that that think HIV is akin to witchcraft, and they'll burn people, stone people, and they blame the person. And that, to me, is heartbreaking, because we just don't have the knowledge out there, the understanding. Even in this country, this is a very important election year.
Absolutely.
Extremely important. And this year, as a matter of fact, this past few months, the CDC just released some new statistics that HIV infections are 40% higher than previously reported, bringing annual infections up to around 56,000 to 60,000 new infections per year. And that is just it's mind-boggling. The stats for men who have sex with men, that covers men who have sex with men, include men who identify themselves as gay, as bisexual, as also as men who have sex with men but do not identify themselves as gay. So
the down low men.
Exactly. They've all, instead of calling them gay, bisexual, whatever, they call it men who have sex with men. And they, in this country in particular, have been underreporting the MFM statistics. So there are far more people out there who are living with this virus than we actually knew. And many of them don't even know that they have it and are turning around and spreading it unknowingly. And it's just, this is why it's so important to get people in to get tested. If you don't want to go in and be tested by your own family physician, there are clinics out there that do it anonymously. So you can go in, you're a number, they don't know you, you'll get your results and you walk out. There are places out there, AIDS service organizations out there, which we call an ASO, that will do anonymous testing for you. So I encourage everybody who's listening to this, if you haven't already and you don't already know your status or have been tested, get tested. It's knowing your status and knowing what's in store for you can just save your life. It
absolutely
really
knowing your status is like the first step of actually controlling your health.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Which is really important. Do you remember hearing that story about the Indian prince who was gay?
Yes.
Over in India, and he came out to his family and they kind of disowned him, and now he does this big, I think he does this whole awareness in India about HIV and AIDS. And
yes,
it just shows that people, no matter what happens, if they share their stories, you can empower others. And he's very, like, his story is very empowering, very inspirational, because he's going out of his comfort zone to other people to find theirs in India, which is very commendable to me.
Yes, and not to go off the subject, but I want to remind everybody, it's 10 minutes before the hour. We have been talking a lot over the last 50 minutes about all kinds of things. And if you want to get in here and talk with Bob and myself, please give us a call at 347-215-9442.
Absolutely. And then some other things, like a lot of things people that thing I wanted to touch base on today is a lot of people view HIV as it was back in, you know, the 80s, the 90s, where now we're in 2008 and HIV is so much more manageable. I mean, people don't realize, a lot of people are, they don't have the education about HIV is not necessarily AIDS. You know what I mean? And a lot of people think that because I have HIV, I now have AIDS. You do not have AIDS. It is a progression. And the medications are getting better and better every single year, and it allows you to fight off the virus, you know what I mean, with less pills, because now it's, what, one a day, and before it was, like, 13?
Well, yeah, and I also want to just kind of bring a caveat to all of what Robert's saying, is that though many classify HIV as a chronic illness, and a lot of folks believe that it is manageable. For some, it isn't. And the reason why it isn't is because they can't afford to get the medication they need. They can't afford to get the medical care they need. So for them, it's not a manageable disease.
Right.
For those of us that are fortunate enough to be able to have access to the meds and have access to doctors and physicians, it is absolutely, it can be manageable. Some days it's less manageable than others, and some days, you know, it's just fine. But those, it's very, very, it's so individual, you know.
Yes. It is, but it isn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's individual, and then when you join PosIM, you see that it's not just you, it's a whole bunch of other people.
Right, right.
You know?
But, yeah, and when I say individual, your experience with it.
Right. Right.
Is your own, and you own that, and you can own the way you handle it or not handle it. You know, that's the choice we all have to make.
Now, did you have a lot of concern about your family? Like telling your family, or was it kind of like no problem for you?
I think telling my parents was probably the hardest thing I ever did. I wasn't able to do it in person, so I had to do it over the phone.
Ooh.
And so that was tough. But what surprised me the most was how much my parents knew about it. So
they knew.
They went out and they got some, you know, education. I have some really great parents, and they educated themselves. So It made my job of disclosing so much easier. But needless to say, it was also very, very difficult for them to hear that
their son,
you know, is HIV positive.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you told your mom, what did she think?
When I told my mom, it was kind of like, are you sure? She was, like, in denial more than I was.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then it kind of,
right.
Yeah, and then it was kind of like, you know, random, like, it was, we talked about it a little bit, because, like, beforehand, me and my mom were, like, best friends. You know what I mean? When I was in high school, I would tell my mom about, you know, all my experiences with girls and different things like that, and, of course, this was before I came out of the closet.
Stop, you know what I mean?
But, like, we had, like, me and my mom had the sex talk, not me and my dad. You know what I mean? Like, me and my dad, there was a distance between us. It just seemed like something wasn't there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So now that I don't have him, it kind of affects me more because I wonder, is he around? What does he think of me? You know what I mean? And different things like that, because my life is totally different than what it was when he was around.
Right. And I think we all tend to second guess and go, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Absolutely.
You know, especially after, and I'll tell you, especially after being diagnosed. And being diagnosed in 2005, I said, what? I mean, what? I grew up with it. You know, I grew up around it, knowing about it, understanding it. I can remember sitting there watching TV when Magic Johnson came on the air and said that he was HIV positive.
Right, I remember that.
And it's, how could you? You're just a baby.
I remember it. I remember it.
but it's just a lot, so much has happened. It's like, why, you know, you start second guessing and going, why, how did I allow it to happen to me? But then again, I didn't want to get bogged up on the hows and the whys. It's like, okay, it is what it is. I have it. I've got to deal with it. I've got to face it head on. And that's what I decided to do. I decided that I'm not going to let it beat me.
Right, you can either sit there and sit on the couch every day and be depressed about it, or get up and be empowered. And I think, you know, that kind of, like, it was weird, like, the way I'm going to, because we only have 4 minutes left before the show ends, so I just kind of really want to briefly go into how I became active in the community. It was very random. It was over the last couple of years. I started looking on the internet. I Googled my name, Bob. Some people know me as Robert, Bob, Rob. It doesn't matter. I answered all three. But I Googled my name, Bob, and I Googled the disease that I have, which is HIV. And then after I Googled it, that's when I came up with One Tough Pirate. And that's when I discovered Bob Bowers. And ever since I went on that website and I viewed and read parts of things that he's doing in Wisconsin, I was inspired and empowered to do something. Like, I felt if he's doing something and he's had it for years, like, he's one of the 1% of these people alive and
right.
from the original diagnosis. I forget exactly the right number, but he's like one of those 1% that are still living, and he's an amazing person.
Is he just an amazing person, but Bob, if you're listening to this right now, going public, and I'm going to say that I would drink your bath water. Again, I said it. All right? I have a bit of a crush on you, but hey, I know you like the girls. That's okay, too. But listen, you've inspired me to reach for the stars and to make a difference right here in my own community, that I am so, so blessed and so extremely just fortunate to have had you in my life, too, Bob. He's the best. I reached out to him and said, hey, you know, when I was building my website, and I said I would love to have him as a resource on my page. And as a matter of fact, Robert, mm-hmm. Bob Bowers brought you and me together.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
I know. He's like our own Chilienta.
Yeah, right?
matchmaker, making a match. God. He's absolutely fantastic. And, okay, so now we're inflating his ego. So
yeah, we're going to have him on the show one week, and we're going to interview him, so you can stay tuned
exactly.
for that. But real quick, we want to give out a big shout-out to our member, Cowboy Larry. Today
yes.
is his birthday, so
happy
birthday.
Cowboy Larry.
Woohoo!
And Cowboy Larry, here's hoping you find yourself a stud. or deep or full bull riding, I don't know. But hey, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, we're going to actually have Larry on too as well. He's very educated in what's going on in D.C., and he's a great asset. And if you're a member of the PosAm community, I advise you to go over and check out Bob Bowers, the pirate, or check out Cowboy Larry. They're people who contribute a lot.
And one little shout I'd like to do is I'd like everybody to log into imprudentnecessities.blogspot.com. That's Mark. He's been a featured blogger on PosIM, and I just kind of wanted to plug his website there for a minute.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're actually getting down to about a minute left, so
all right.
You want to say something before I finish off?
I just got to tell you, I think this is a great first show. Thank you to Dina and Linda for calling in and not allowing Robert and I to just kind of babble on for an hour.
And talk to ourselves.
Exactly. And thank you all to our listeners for making this happen, because it wouldn't be without you that we would be here.
Absolutely. And don't forget to tune in next week for our second show, next Sunday, the 24th of August at 2 p.m. If there's a change in time, actually, you know what? There actually will be a change in time for next week, so please stay posted. I just realized that I have a show next week, and I won't have it at 2, so it'll probably be either a later or an early one. But stay tuned, and we will get back to you. And, Jeremy, thanks for joining me today, man. I really appreciate
it. Thanks, Robert. I'm glad to be here.
All right. You have a great day, and
right.
thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is Jeremy Dunn.
Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye now.